Eric Frickberg joins us now with a roundup of the latest rural news. And Eric, the government wants to double the value of agricultural exports in a decade.
That's right, it does. It's launched a plan to boost primary sector export earnings by $44 billion over the next decade. It says the plan is focused on unlocking greater value for a sector which is vital to New Zealand's economic recovery post-COVID-19. Maya Barry reports.
Today's report is a follow-up to a major strategy unveiled in December last year that was released by the government's Primary Sector Council and called for a move away from volume towards value-added products, which would get premium prices in the marketplace. The Agriculture Minister, Damien O'Connor, says today's new report outlines practical ways for the sector to achieve this goal. Some of the recommended actions include modernising export legislation, establishing a Māori Primary Sector Leaders Forum, and using food science to support health and provenance claims. Damien O'Connor says the next step is to develop a phased implementation programme. Kua Maya Burry, Tēnā.
A Whangarei farm manager has been fined more than $3,000 for hitting cows with a plastic pipe and a metal bar. Michael Ian Luke, a 62-year-old former Mangapai dairy farm manager, appeared in the Whangarei District Court yesterday for sentencing after the case was brought to court by the Ministry for Primary Industries. The ministry says between April the 1st and May the 18th in 2018, Luke handled dairy cows violently, striking them with excessive force with an alkathene pipe and hitting them about the legs with a metal pipe. It says he hit one cow in particular about the legs with a metal pipe so severely that both legs were badly swollen and it struggled to walk. Luke entered a guilty plea to a representative charge under the Animal Welfare Act and was convicted and fined. The Ministry for Primary Industries says it screened milk from nearly 3,000 dairy farms in June as part of its M. bovis response program. As part of the national surveillance for the cattle disease, MPI runs a bulk milk testing program. It says last month, five properties presented what's called a detect result. It says two of those farms had already been investigated. They were ruled out as being infected with M. bovis. The other three farms have tested negative following an on-farm blood sampling, but further assessments are still being completed. At the moment, there are 10 farms actively infected with M. bovis. A further 239 have been cleared of the disease, and 157,000 cattle have been culled. Farmers have been told that breeding sheep which emit less methane doesn't sacrifice the value of the animal. The comments were made at a webinar organised by the New Zealand Agricultural Greenhouse Gas Research Council. One of the speakers was a scientist at AgResearch, Suzanne Rowe. She told her audience that after a decade of research, it was found that high-emitting sheep produced high-emitting progeny and vice versa.
The resulting program, after many years of work, found that indeed after three generations we have 11% less methane per kilogram of feed eaten. So there's no point just breeding for low methane, because what you may breed is a smaller sheep. What we wanted is less methane per feed input. So we have 11% less.
Dr. Rowe went on to say that that 11% drop in methane did not come at a financial cost to the farmer. The opposite, in fact.
The low methane animals are doing really, really well. They're up with the elite flocks. The high emitting animals are pretty average, but the low methane animals are actually producing really well. Those additional scents are a combination of a bit faster lamb growth, more lean meat yield. The adults are slightly smaller, they're less fat. There's better parasite resistance in the low line, and most significantly, they grow more wool. So we have a combination of factors which basically show us that low line is healthy and productive.
Dr. Rose said the research showed low methane sheep can be bred, there were no detrimental side effects, and the whole program stacked up economically. Struggling New Zealanders are 100,000 meals better off thanks to a Meet the Need Foundation set up 8 weeks ago. That charity supplied meat from donated deer, cattle and sheep to city missions and food banks for those in need. A founder, the dairy farmer Wayne Langford, says the meat processor, Silverfern Farms, is processing the animals into mince.
it's actually blown me away, and we're truly humbled by the support that farmers are given. And you know, it's been a pretty tough year in a lot of the country. You know, the Southland have had the floods, and up north with the dry and the droughts all around. You know, so the fact that farmers have got on board, and you know, I think we've had over 250 animals donated now. You know, in the space of 8 weeks, that's pretty incredible.
Mr. Langford says discussions are underway to look at other ways to help local communities.
We've been asked that a lot over the last couple of months, and it looks like we will expand a little bit. You know, the most obvious one would be into dairy, just with the large volume that we produce, but also our ability, for example, the Canterbury farmers, you know, the arable farmers there have talked to us about what they could do. I see it's definitely kind of spreading out across the primary sector.
That's Wayne Langford. AgriHQ says demand for New Zealand lamb out of Europe is looking a bit more promising, but there's still a long road to recovery. A senior analyst, Mel Crode, says sales are still patchy and there does not seem to be a consensus from buyers on forward sales.
Frozen French racks are trading for around €12 a kilo. Now, these prices are starting to tempt out some sales among buyers who are actually looking to offset the higher prices paid earlier in the season, whereas others look to be more interested in mutton cut. We have seen the cheap French rack prices also tempting some sales in the US market, which is an encouraging sign. But look, this market's got such a long recovery ahead of it. We've got plenty of French racks sitting in storage both here and in the US.
That's Mel Crode from AgriHQ. A Bay of Plenty dairy cow has claimed a coveted milk production title. The cow, which goes by the complicated name Thurvalley BK Brie VG86, or just Brie for short, produced 678 kilograms of milk solids in the dairy season just ended. She's owned by Rotorua contract milkers Tony Bueller, Lisa Culligan, and their sons Connor and Logan. The figure makes her the top producing registered brown Swiss cow in New Zealand. Brie's grandmother, who was born in 2001, took up the same title twice. The award was announced at Brown Swiss New Zealand's annual general meeting. And that's the Rural News for now, Marnie.